Bobby.
Wasn't that good? Got to think about the love of God while he was singing that. How he loved us. He didn't quit either. Still at it. Somebody might not have known, God gave him those poems. She wrote and penned them. I thought to myself, why she's doing that? Man, if I could, I can't even preach like that. That's a gift. But you know, God's got something for every one of us to do. He sure has. Got your Bibles, turn me into the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 1. God bless you for coming. And we do pray the Lord blessing on all you mothers. Mothers and grandmothers are mentioned. One of them mentioned in their poems in this passage of Scripture. The Lord hadn't really just gave me a message on mothers, but it's something we might want to say about these mothers and grandmothers here as we go through this passage of Scripture. But thank God for His Word. So in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, begin reading verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. By the will of God. He didn't decide he won't be one. He hadn't planned on being one. You say, how you know? He was persecuting the church. God turned him around. Well, you ain't got nothing to brag about. He turned you around too. Turned me around too. By the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. In case I don't get back to that, there ain't no life nowhere else. Them night lives, no good. Night life, no good. People calls it. Jukin's no good. All the life you really going to have and ever know it's any good is a life in Christ. That's what he said in Galatians 2:20, a life that I now live. I live with the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. And you know what? We're going to have to say something about that faith this morning. Been preaching a lot about it lately. That's what keeps fear away. Amen. That's the only way you can walk and go. But it said of Timothy, my beloved, my dearly beloved son. He was his son in the gospel. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfringed faith, in case again we'll get back to that unfringed, you say, what's that mean? Well, look it up. I had to look it up. But you know what it means? It means real, not false, it's genuine. They had it. Timothy had it. But guess what? Somebody else had it before he had it. Guess who it was? His grandma and his mama. That's what it said. It was first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded that's in thee also. Wherefore, I put in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given us
in Christ Jesus, woo, before the world began.
Boy, it'll blow your mind if you really just let it. But it's wonderful. Can't imagine. Can't even fathom it. But how slow it is. But it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who have abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I committed to him against that day. Hold fast that form of sound doctrine or sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Notice what he said in verse number 5. When I call to remembrance the unfringed faith that was in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Would you pray with us this morning? Father, I want to thank you, God, for the faith that you've given us. Oh, how we bless you for it. And Lord, we are thankful that we saw this faith in our mother and our grandmother. Oh, how wonderful and marvelous that is. Thank you for it. And thank you, Lord, for giving us faith, loving us with that love that was sung about here this morning. Bless now this to our hearts and hide us behind the cross of Calvary. Speak to us and through us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. So Timothy was Paul's son in the gospel. That's right. Now, Timothy's father, I think, was a Greek, and his mother was a Jewish. I read that another verse. I could find it, but it's in there. Just read it yesterday. And you know what? She believed. She was a believer. And you know what it tells me? Mama, Grandma, believe God. You say, well, Daddy and Grandpa don't want to believe. Go ahead and believe anyhow. Vice versa if it's the other way around. But thank God. He said that unfringed faith. Thank God for faith. Now here's a grandma that had faith. And she passed it on down to mama. Mama passed it on down to son. I'm telling you, that's a wonderful gift to pass on. Hallelujah. I can remember... I remember back in 1970, I didn't want to talk just a minute, okay? When I surrendered to preach. Well, immediately God started opening up doors all over the county and around the area. And I went to a little church one Sunday. And I didn't know she was going to be there. I mean, I just had started preaching. Somehow or another, I hadn't even seen my grandma on faith. That's how quick it was happening. And guess who was there? Little church, weren't but 10 or 12 of us there. My mama's sister brought my grandma. Oh, couldn't have been happy to see nobody. Because we little old fellas, we used to go with them, go to the, you know, remember where the campground was up here? It was that Methodist campground. My great-grandpa was a Methodist preacher. That was my grandma, my mama's daddy. Well, you know who was there that? They weren't about probably 10 or 12 of us at the whole church. And you know who was that? My grandma. Where was Carol? Well, she was still back home right that time. I just had started with them young'uns. And I don't tell her I told you this. But she told me, she said, I'm not going to follow you around all over this country, these little old churches. I said, okay, we'll see. We'll let God take care of that. But guess what? It wasn't long. I couldn't leave her at home. She wouldn't stay. Well, she was in church. But I was going one church, I mean, just about every Sunday somewhere. But I don't know if we get that Sunday. Grandma was there. She was there. You know what?
She had faith. And you know when my grandpa got saved?
He was one of them that on weekends, they on gone, I can tell it. Everybody, some people knew it, but weekends, he'd want to just get him a little toddy. This is before I can remember. He'd get him a little toddy and he could do the buck dance and all that. I was told that from my own, I'm telling you the truth. Well, one night, guess what? He got to hearing some preachers. My grandma had the preaching up on the radio pretty good. And out on television back then, he was preaching on the radio. And guess what? He got under conviction. He got scared. And you know what? Grandma got, I don't know how she got them, but she got two preachers to come. One of them was a Methodist and one of them was a Baptist. You know what? They come, stayed with him and prayed. They called it praying it through. And they stayed there with him. And guess what? He said the thirst left him. It's like that. You say, well, that's so, it's real. I'm telling you about a salvation that can deliver you. Set you free and give you victory and give you hope and faith and thank God for the victory that's come and we can have it through Jesus Christ. Glory to God. I had another, one of my uncles, I don't know why, I guess the Lord wanted me to share that I had an uncle, one of my daddy's brothers. He got way away from the Lord and was living way somewhere else. And back then, if you live 200-300 miles away, that's a long way. Well, Grandma and Grandpa got to really concerned about him. They got to, you say, I don't believe it. They got to anointing. Hank Scoville didn't have, they just anointed the paper and wrote him a letter. And laid hands on that and prayed over it. Well, guess what happened to him? He got right with God. He headed back his way, and guess where he wound up? He wound up in Tallahassee, Florida, and started the Methodist Church. That's where he was when he passed away. That right, isn't a little while. Yeah, he remembers it. Because I went with Daddy over to his house to do some work, carton work. But you know what? It was God working. Amen. Hallelujah. And so don't tell me it's not important. Listen to pray for your children. It's important. Thank God that you got a godly mother and a godly father. It's a wonderful thing and a glorious thing that God would have mercy. And he did, I believe, upon Timothy. He had a grandmother and a mother that loved God and served God and had this unfringed faith that was real. It was reality. It was that was real faith and genuine. And they passed it on, thank God. I'm so glad. Thank God. Listen, to have one that loved God and served him. Hallelujah. You know what? I like some other little. I appreciate those that lived the life in front of me. They didn't say, do as I do. You could do as they do. You know why? They walked it. Well, that's a little said about my. That was about my grandma. And my mama. Thank God for them being godly. Well, I had another grandma too. You know, you got two grandmas. I know it's a little different. We'll get into the scripture in a minute. But I had another grandma. If I could tell you some things about her, you'd probably laugh and say, that's funny. Well, you know what we wouldn't do? You know how boys are, like to take the shirts off and get them a tan? Don't go around Grandma. Is that right, Leroy? He tell you. Where's your shirt? Talk fast. She's part Indian. Talk fast. Where's your shirt? Didn't take long, some of that. We put it on for around them. You know, she was so concerned. You know what? I didn't know this. Mama told me about this later. She said, Grandma, and you think it's just funny? Probably too. She wouldn't even chew chewing gum. You know why? She's afraid somebody thinks she's chewing backer. And they called it white backer. She didn't want to think nobody think she was chewing. You say, well, that's silly. Well, I'd rather be that way than not have no convictions at all. That's the grandma. How to work, honey? Huh? Anything wrong with chewing chewing gum? No. But if that's the way she felt. But you know what? You never get away from those things. It's real. That's real. No wonder they could shout. They didn't have nothing on. I remember Grandma sitting out on the porch fanning. Why didn't he go in the house? It was hotter than there it was on the outside. No, you could go in no house. But I'm telling you something, they love God. They served him and loved him. I used to drive Grandpa home from church on Sunday nights because he couldn't see very good. That's before I ever got a license. On the dirt road, of course, I'd drive him home. But them deep ditches on the side, he couldn't see very good. But you know what? Thank God. Timothy had a mother, and she had a grandma. And they had faith. And there's old Timothy. Hallelujah. Well, mama, be one of them mamas. Amen. You said, I'm a mama. Yeah, you're a mama. You may be a grandma too. If you are, be one. I want to thank God. It's a wonderful thing to have a mother. Carol's gone, but I say this about her. She was a real mother. Real mother. And a real wife. And you know what? It was all because of the Lord. You can be the same. You can. Hallelujah. Oh God, help us, Lord. There's so much in this scripture this morning. I want to go back through a few of these verses now. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, mentioned a while ago by the will of God. According to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad he promised us life? You know what he said? The devil come to steal, to kill, to destroy. But Jesus said, I'm come that you might have what? Life. And how can you have it? More abundantly. Woo! What living is, that's it. Have it more abundantly. Oh, he said, I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers. He said, I'm praying for you. I remember my prayers night and day. Then he goes on down and talks about unfringed faith. That's in verse number 5. But look what it said in verse number 6. Wherefore I put in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of my hands. Paul, he's saying to Timothy, he said, Timothy, he said, you know how to be ashamed, you know how to be a timid. I'm praying to God, I stir you up and stir the gift that you have, that you got to the land on my hands. Now when Paul had ordained and laid on hands, it weren't empty hands on empty heads, hearts. That don't do no good. But he said, you have a gift. And don't, listen, let it lie. You stir it up. And pray God will stir it up. There's not one thing. God has, did you know? We don't all have the same gift. You know that? God has really had to help me, and he still really has to help me. When I was in school, not get up in front of a class. No, I didn't like that at all. That's what I told the Lord when he's calling me to preach. I can't. You must be somebody else. But he knows what he's doing. He sure does. So stir up that gift. Somebody's got a gift sitting there this morning. Use it. Use it. Don't let it lie dormant. Stir it up. Pray God stir it up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look what it said in verse 7. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. He is not giving us fear. If you have fear, you know where it's coming from. It comes from the devil and the enemy and the world and the flesh. But I'm telling you, the spirit of fear comes from the enemy. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us something else. Power. That's what he said. Love. And a sound mind. That's what God gives. I don't know about you, That's shouting ground. Hey, God, listen, he don't give me fear. He gives me faith, he gives me love, and he gives me a sound mind. I ain't got a whole lot of a mind, but he's sound, thank God, because it come from God. He said, let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. You know what he said in Romans 12:1? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable and holy. It says unto him in reasonable service, that he may, you may prove what that perfect and acceptable will of God. Listen, you know what? Our mind is being renewed. By the renewing of your mind. That's where we have the mind of Christ. Listen, what's wrong with this world? They need their minds renewed. Need their hearts renewed. Become new creatures in Christ Jesus. And become new person. How? In Christ. And Paul said, stir up the gift of God in you. Yeah, I ain't giving you fear. But I give you power. Did you know what? There's no reason in the world that we can't be strong in the Lord. And the power of his might. None. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you know what? Going back to this faith thing. Did you know what faith is? If you ought to take, you ought to not let very long go by. Ain't many weeks go by. I don't have to read the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Do you know, they at least half the verses out there, what, 40 some verses in there? Probably half of them more starts off by faith, through faith. Or, and some rest of them just talking about what faith's talking about the next two or three verses. You just stop and think about it. By faith, we believe the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Hallelujah. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Amen. By faith. Moses' parents hid him for as long as it could. You know what? That same faith that put him out on the water and built a little ark. And you know what God did? Had the king's daughter to go out there and look. Woo, look at that. Guess who was sitting off there in the background? His sister. And you know what? She got him to fetch that thing. Bring it. Let's see what's in there. Opened it up. And the exact time, little baby Moses cried. And she had compassion on him. Was it Miriam? Is that his sister's name? Help me. She run up and said, can I get somebody to tend? She runs. Guess who she gets? To nurse it. His old mama. Mama. Oh, by faith, this mama hid him. By faith, this mama got to nurse him and raise him up till he got a certain age. And she had to turn him over to Pharaoh. But listen, God still had his hand on him. By faith. Moses' parents did that. Glory to God. What a wonderful story. You go all the way through that book of Hebrews and you'll see this unfriend's faith. You'll see this real, genuine faith. How about Noah? Had he seen a flood? No. I'll tell you what, you know what, the book of Hebrews starts off now. Faith is a subject of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I'll tell you, they hadn't seen no flood. They just believed God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and the Bible said, by faith, Noah moved with fear. You must believe God. That's the only way. I ain't seen heaven. Somebody asked me, what do you see when you're so close to death? He didn't see anything. If he had, I might not want to come back. I didn't. I heard people say they got a peep in there. He didn't let me peep in there. You said you still believe it? Sure do. I believe it more than I'd seen something because I might have been thought I'd dreaming. That all I know dreamed nothing about that book. It's real. You don't have to see it. You just got to believe it. So Noah moved with fear. What about Abraham? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for what? Righteousness. He believed God, left the country he was in, going to a country he'd never been to before. Sojourning, not knowing where he went. He just went, going, following God's directions. But it's all by faith. That's the kind of faith we must have. That's the kind Timothy had. That's the kind Paul had. That's the kind Timothy's mama and grandma had. That real faith. I want to tell you something. It's very important. You go right on through that book of Hebrews 11. You'll see all those by faith. Women saw the dead raised again by faith. Yes, sir. All the way through there, you'll find. Enoch, the Bible says, was translated by faith. You know what the Bible said? By without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that come to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of him that diligently seek him. And so Enoch was translated by faith. He believed God. And he didn't see death. Because before his translation, he had this testimony. Guess what his testimony was? He pleased God. Are you pleasing him? He said, well, I ain't got much faith. Well, it don't take, just as long as you got faith, as a grain of mustard seed. And I don't know if you ever plant any mustard or turnips, but I don't care how you try to spread them out. I've never planted any that weren't 2 feet when they come up. Now, I planted some other stuff, didn't get thick enough, but they're so small. So if you got a little grain of seed of a mustard seed faith, thank God. It's not that. It's not the greatness of that. It's who it's in. The faith in. It's a great God. Hallelujah. You see? He's a great God. He's able to do above and abundantly. All things are possible to him that believe. He can do more above than we can even ask or think. That's God. Sure is. Amen. Paul said, verse number 8, be thou therefore ashamed. And we'll run through this quick. Testimony of our Lord and our me is prisoner. You. He's a prisoner. He said, don't even be ashamed. He was a prisoner. You know that, didn't you? He stayed in prison a lot. But you know, he didn't quit there. That's where he wrote a lot of his letters God gave him. So if you're in the summers, you don't maybe tickle like to be right now. Let God use you where you're at. Huh? Amen. Yeah. He said, but thou be partakers of affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Now don't you look at verse number 9. Who have saved us and called us? You know, I read that Brother Raymond of the day, and I said, ooh, I thought it was called, then saved. He said saved and called. Well, I can't change it around. It's like that. I said, Lord, what are you talking about? Well, really, he saved us. Go on down there, you look. Before the foundation of the world. Did you know it did not take God by surprise? Did you know that? When Adam fell in the garden, it did not. He knew what was going to happen. He knew all of it. And really, when he went on Calvary, that's when he saved us. He said, I wasn't even born. I know it. Experimental. We didn't know anything about it until we got saved. But I'm telling you the truth now. You say, well, that's the way it is. You can't change this book. I sure tried to turn that around. I thought to myself, wait a minute, Paul. You said saved us and then called us. I didn't know nothing about it, Brother Larry. Did he call me? Boy, that'll stir up some people's minds. But you know what? I'm glad he saved me. Amen. He sent the Holy Ghost.
got a hold of me, started drawing me. He saved me, and he called me. Well, you better be glad he called you. But I'm telling you, you can't call yourself. He called me. And you know what? He chose me. Mm-hmm. He did. I used to tell Carol, I'd kid her and tell her, I said, pretty as you was and smart as you were, you could have married anybody you wanted to. She said, I want you to know I did. I said, okay, thank you. And you know what I think about? I meant what I said. I told her God sometime, I said, God, look at all these others you could have called. Look at all these others that you, why me? But you know what? Who was talking a while ago? Or is it the Lord talking? Said, I'll get it straight in a minute. But you know what? Why in the world? What God has done for us. Isn't it amazing? He got a place for you and a place for me. Who said a while ago that we could have been born somewhere else, some other time? Nobody said it. It might have been the Holy Ghost. I don't know. But you know what? It's the will of God. You know what? You could have been born. I'm going to say that anyhow. I don't know who said it. You could have been born in another part of the country. You could have been born in another country, another part of this country. You could have been born in another family. And you could have been born somewhere else. But God's got you where you are. Oh, I know where I heard it. I was listening to preaching this morning before I got to church. Forgive me. I'm trying to blame that on some of y'all. I got it now. Thank you, Lord. Brother Gary said we could have been born somewhere else. And you know what? You're not me, and I mean, I'm not you. Isn't it amazing how what God does? And so he saved us. And he called us. I like this. With an holy calling. Hey, I don't care what kind of name tag you wear and what's over the door or what's on the sign. You can mark her down. I don't know if it's Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, or if it's Pentecost, whatever, it seemed to God, the Church of God, and I can name all a bunch more. But he said he's called us with a holy calling. He's holy. You can't change that. And there's no darkness in him at all. He's all light. He's all good. And he's called us. That's why the Bible said, it said he's called us unto holiness. He hadn't called us unto unrighteousness. He called us out of darkness. I talked about that Wednesday night into a marvelous light. And he brings us out of darkness, brings us out of our deadness, gives us life, shines a light on our soul, and we become a light in this old dark world. Because he's called us unto holiness. Mm-hmm. Did you know when God saved me, when I was at our saved, but when you know, I've been saved about 5 years, but you know, when I started preaching, God gave me two messages. You might think I'm kidding, but he did. He gave me a message on holiness or hell. And sometimes I just go one church one Sunday, I preach it on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and back, next Sunday I'd go back and start again. But you know what? He called us unto holiness. And you know why some people won't come to God? Well, I can't have no good time. He's trying to call you out of what's wrecking and ruining and destroying you. He wants you to have life. I challenge anyone. Show me where you're enjoying life any more than I am. I'm serious. I'm talking about even the dearest thing to me taken away, two of them. A son and a wife. But still got life. And they still got it more abundantly. Amen. Yes, sir. And I got him.
And he won't ever leave me. And he won't never forsake me. He's called me unto holiness. And it's not according to our works. I like it. Not according to our works. He didn't look down in heaven and say, hey, that's a pretty good old boy. I'm going to come save him. I'm going to call him to preach. Because he got some... No. He didn't say that. He looked down in heaven and said, there's an old boy who needs saving. He's vile. He's a sinner. He can't help himself. And he needs saving. That's what he was seeing. And it went according to my works. And it's not according to your works. You know what our works are? Filthy rags. The quicker you can find that out, cast them aside. Come to him. He's a loving Savior. He's so forgiving and merciful. Hallelujah. That's my Lord. That's my Savior. What did he say? Not of works, but it's according to his own purpose. You know, God didn't accidentally save me. He didn't accidentally save you. He saved you on purpose. Glory to God. I told you I couldn't stay on him, Mother. Verse 8, it's too good. Hey, on purpose. You know what? You ought to find out the purpose of God and purpose in your heart. Listen, know what God's got for you. Not only he saved you for a purpose. You say, well, he saved me and keep me out of hell. That's one reason. Thank God for that. But he's got another reason. He's got a purpose for you. He saved you according to his own purpose. Not mine, not my works, but his. His works, his purpose. Hallelujah. Uh-oh. And grace. That's all grace. You're saved by grace through faith, not of works. Ephesians said, lest any man should boast. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And he's ordained us to good works. You see, works is the results of being saved by grace. Therefore, we got good works because God saved us. And he expects that. Hallelujah. Boy, like this right here. What he said? Uh-oh. Which was given us. Did that say we bought it? Did that say we wrought it? Did that say we worked for it? Did that say we deserved it? No, it said he gave it to us. You said, well, I don't like it. Well, I love it. Hey, that's the only way you'll ever get it. A gift. Glory to God. A gift. Well, read the sign when you leave. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. That's wages. Earned it. Deserved it. But the gift of God's what? Eternal life. And it's always, what does that verse say? Through Jesus Christ, who? Our Lord. It's a gift. Now, why wouldn't you want a gift? God gave us his Son. That's a gift. He gives us eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. He given us. Of course, it's always in Christ. Jesus wouldn't got nothing apart from him. It wasn't because we deserved it. It's just like he was giving it to his Son. He gave us unto his Son. You know what Jesus said? All the Father give me shall come to me. You know why you in Christ? God gave you to him. Now you swallow that. You make that up? No, I read it from Scripture. God gave you to Christ. Hallelujah. That's the reason you in him. It's a gift. Your gift to his Son. He said, all the Father it gave me shall come unto me, and him that come to me, I no wise cast out. Then he said, no man can come to him except the Father which sent me, draw him. That's why when the Spirit of God's wooing and drawing, you better come to Christ then. We are a gift. It's all a gift. God gave us a gift. I tell you, he did. He gave a gift of his Son, turned around and gave us to the Son. Read it in John. I don't got time to go over this morning, but it's there. What does he say? Hallelujah. He said, given us in Christ Jesus. Uh-oh, did he do that yesterday? What am I reading? Look at that. Read it. 9. When did it happen? Before the world began. That don't sound like that's some new thing, does it? Son, it's been that way before God spoke these worlds in existence. God said, I'm going to have a people. I'm going to have them. And my son's going to come pay the price for them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, we ain't got to figure it all out. We got to believe it. So don't you get too excited if you realize it just dawned on you that he gave us something in Christ Jesus and he did it before you. You said, I wasn't even born. I know it. That makes it more wonderful. He knew I was going to be born, glory to God. And he gave me to Christ before the world, listen, ever was formed. Glory to God. You can't beat that. It's going to last. It's been from eternity past. And it'll be eternity forever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's not start. It didn't start yesterday. It ain't going to end tomorrow. It's been from eternity past and eternity forevermore. Glory to God. What a message. What a gospel. What a savior. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Whew. This thing's eternal from the beginning. Whew. In the foreknowledge of God, God gave me that. That's why I can lay down and sleep at night. That's why my wife could tell us things she did. I won't call his name, but you know what she told someone in our family? Tell him, I'll be waiting on. What she said? Tell him. I'll be waiting on him. Can you rest in Christ like that? You can. That faith. That unfringed faith. That's so real. So genuine. You can rest in it. That's God. Hallelujah. Hey. That's before the world began. But it's made manifest, verse 10, by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who have abolished death and have brought to life immortality, to light through the gospel. Hallelujah. You know what? That's why he's taking the sting out of death. Hebrews 2 said he tasted death for every man. We don't have to fear death no more. All the lifetime subject to the fear of death. But Jesus came, tasted death, got victory with death, hell, and the grave. Taking the sting out of death. And brought life and immortality through Jesus Christ. Our wonderful Savior. Ain't he wonderful? You're talking about a gospel. You're talking about good news. Folks, this is good news. If you hadn't got in on it, I'm inviting you to get in on it this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. You can. Oh, glory to God. And Paul said, I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. He was a preacher, apostle, and teacher. Amen. Of the Gentiles. That's us. Amen. And he goes on down and said, for which cause I also suffer these things. He was put in prison because he preached. Nevertheless, he said, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I don't just know in whom I believe, I know him. That's the reason the Apostle Paul said in one of his epistles, you know what he said? I bet I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. You know why Paul could go through the sufferings and afflictions and in the prison and all of the things he went through with? He was fellowshipping with the Lord. And he knew him. And he knew who he believed and whom he believed. I know whom I believe. And am persuaded. He was persuaded now. Not only just believe. He was persuaded. He was able to keep that which he committed unto him. Guess what? Against that day. I want to tell you something. You got to believe, and you got to have a certain commitment. Paul believed that he's able to keep, but he committed it to him. Why don't you take all your problems and troubles and sorrows, all the things that may be troubling you and burdening you, why don't you just cast them on the Lord and commit them to him? He'll keep them. I believe the first thing he knew he could keep, he knew he could keep him. Let me tell you something. If you live every day not knowing where you're being kept or not, I want to tell you something. We kept with the power of God. If you ever get out, if you ever just settle that you kept with the power of God. Somebody say, I got to keep myself saved. You can't keep yourself saved no more. You could save yourself. If he didn't keep us, we'd all be lost. But I'm depending on him to keep me. You hear me? I'm encouraging you to lean on him and trust him. He can do it. He's able. And the Apostle Paul said, I know whom I believe, and I'm not ashamed of him. He's able to keep that which I committed to him. He ain't going to lose it. I lose stuff. Well, dude, I can tell you why. My daddy told me a long time ago, son, probably right where you throwed it down. I don't have Lester now to call and say, Lester, where is this? He knew. If somebody hadn't moved. But you know what? God don't lose nothing. Yeah, that's right. But God don't lose nothing. And you know what? Read John. Is it John 10? We in the Father's hands. He said, no man. No man could pluck me out. I ain't never seen nobody strong as the Lord. I've never seen a temptation strong as the Lord. I've never seen a trial, listen, that was strong enough to take me out of his hands. I'm there. And I'm so glad I am. You know what God's doing? I had 7 kids. You know what? When I was, they was a dangerous place when they were little. See your hand, Brother Denny. Listen, I didn't let them just hold my hand. I had theirs. Huh? When we went across the street, I hold that hand. They didn't get out of it either. Their hands ain't that little, but I'd hold hers. It might be a little hand. But I'm telling you, God's got a hand. He's got a hand. And he holds us in it. And when he knows I'm in danger, he just got a hold of me. He said, I don't know about it. Well, rest in it. You'll find out. Well, glory to God. I don't know where to quit. I'm going to have to, though. Glory to God. Anyway. Yeah, I'm going to close to Timothy. That's, there it is. Timothy chapter, I'm not Timothy. It's Acts chapter 16, verse 1 said, then came he to Deborah and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was Jewish. I mentioned that a while ago. And believed. But his father was a Greek. Didn't say anything about him believing. But his mother believed. And she was a Jew. But she believed. She had that faith. Mama. Bring up them children in the way they should go, Dad. And when they're old, they shall not depart from it. You know, I've seen everybody, every one of ours come in. I had the privilege of baptizing my brother sitting right back there, Leroy. I'll never forget what he told me to come up out of the water. Now we're double brothers. I had to baptize my cousin sitting right over there. You know, if I could get just part of my kinfolk down this way, Carol would be right. The building wouldn't be nowhere about big enough. But I want to see him saved. I want to see him saved. Hey, she was a mother, but she believed. Believe. All things are possible to him that believeth. There ain't but one way you ought to be living in this world. That's God's way. Live for Him. Serve Him. I can assure you, it'll be worth it in this life. In the life to come, be more and more worth it. There's another verse. I don't remember exactly where it was talking about that day. I see it right quick. I'm on reading. I think it's in Thessalonians. Hold on just a moment. Before we sing and pray, I believe the Lord wants me to read this verse so I can find it. Yeah. It's in, you might want to turn if you want to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Number 1 of 2nd chapter. Listen to this. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verse number 6, says, sin, it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation of them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, get this, rest. Rest. Are you troubled about something? Paul said rest. Listen to this, with us. Now, anybody had anything to trouble about, it was Paul. But he said, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, look at verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That's an awful thing, folk. You don't want to go there. When he shall come to be glorified, now like this, in his saints, and to be admired in all them that, guess what? Believe. Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So listen, the saints of God are going to glorify him, and the saints are going to admire him. You know why? They the one that believed. You know why they believed? Paul said, because of our testimony. Paul and him had testified to him. You don't ever know who you testify to, who's going to turn to the Lord. So get at it. Let's do it. Wherefore also we pray always to you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith, work of faith with power. Hallelujah. So I'm telling you, folks, he's coming back to be admired. We're going to admire him. And he's going to be glorified in the saints. Amen. Praise God. He said unto us, let's worship him. Let's yield to him. Let's serve him. Let's praise him. Let's glorify him now. Let's magnify him. Would you stand with me this morning?